Let's freaking go. Are you freaking kidding me? Jay Johnson, is he the best coach I have ever seen in any sport at LSU? The truth is, nobody will ever beat Skip Bertman, right? Because you have to factor in him actually starting LSU baseball to being what it is now. You also have to factor in his work as an athletic director and all the way up until now as a liaison for the program, going all the way back to him talking to the Coastal Carolina coach who went off the rails this weekend, to UALR's baseball program who almost upset us in the regionals. Their program using a bunch of Skip Bertman tactics and motivation. So Skip will always be to me the best coach in any sport at LSU. It's going to be really, really, really tough. But with that said, in the sport I feel is the hardest to win, in one of the few places where national championships are the standard, so the pressure is beyond immense, in a sport that has seen the conference become one of the best conferences in any sport in the history of collegiate athletics, Jay Johnson has been to two College World Series in 4 years and has constantly had this team ready to play. And he won a national championship with the team that a lot of head coaches would have won a national championship with in 2023. But he also, in 2025, to me, won a national championship with a roster that nobody would ever say is one of the best LSU rosters ever. I'm not saying it wasn't a bad roster. I can argue this was the grittiest roster LSU has ever had. But the fact that with this team having its deficiencies in the lineup offensively, the fact that you're able to win with offensive brute force and explosion in 2023 and absolute sun run pitching with Paul Skeens, you do it this year with two elite aces and some amazing defense. It is unfreaking believable that this guy has done what he has done with coaches coming in and out. And there's not been a whole lot of coaching turnover, but there's coaches that have interviewed for other jobs. One in Wes Johnson who left, who was a very good pitching coach and now is one of the best baseball coaches now in college baseball with Georgia. The truth is simple. I do not know if when it's all said and done, Jay Johnson will be the best coach of all time at LSU. I will say that I do know what my eyes are seeing. And we are witnessing a guy that I don't like to compare to other coaches because he is the best college coach in any sport, in my mind, of all time. It's Nick Saban. That's why the thumbnail says Nick Partoo. And I know we have referenced that name a few times. As tomorrow comes, it's the championship celebration that'll be at Alec Box Stadium tomorrow night. If you are in Baton Rouge, it'll start at 8 p.m. I highly recommend you get there at 7 p.m. Central Time. And a place is going to be packed. For those that went to the championship Alec Box celebration a few years ago, you know how electric it was. My good friend Blake Ruffino went to it. A lot of you went to it. You should go. I do think it is worth the trip because a lot of these baseball players are getting ready for summer league as they take the next steps in their career. A lot of these guys are getting ready for the transfer portal. And the thing that constantly amazes me about Jay Johnson, and this is what really puts him over the top, is the guy is always thinking about the next thing. So the weird thing about this, we did, for those that are only tuning in for tonight, my weekend was one of the best weekends I've ever had in my career. I got to fly to New York City, go to Fanatics Fest, be a part of, to me, one of the most legendary collection of sports legends, Tom Brady, LeBron James. But honestly, if there was one school that was represented the most at Fanatics Fest, it was LSU. Livy Dunn, Todd Graves, okay? It gets even better than that. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Odell Beckham Jr. The list goes on and on and on. And I got to be there to see Jaden Daniels on a panel with Joe Montana and Dan Marino, who a lot of you looked up to. That was a pretty chilling moment for your boy. So I was very fortunate to get to go to that. There was a piece of me that wish I could have been a part of the Omaha celebration, because Omaha is heaven on earth. Whether LSU is there or not, it is still a fun trip. So I highly recommend you go ahead and book your trip for next year, because Jay Johnson's going to be there. I guarantee it. But what happened was we normally don't do baseball post-game shows, but it was a College World Series. So I made sure to do some from our hotel room in New York. And in the background, Game 7 had started when we had actually started our post-game show. And one thing that was very interesting to me was I was listening to the Oklahoma City Thunder general manager. His name is Sam Presti, all right? And Sam Presti, the way he talks, reminds me so much of how Jay Johnson thinks of things. Because in the post-game interview with Scott Van Pelt, Sam Presti was ready to talk about the NBA draft, which is in just a few days. A guy that worked 18 years building a small market team to become an NBA champion was already thinking about the next thing. So what has Jay Johnson done in interviews? Interview with Paul Feinbaum. He shares the story of him recruiting a transfer portal kid during the College World Series. And I'm not saying Jay Johnson is the only coach who does that, but listen to every damn interview this guy does. 99% of the time, he's talking about recruiting. And as great as Jay Johnson is, some of you have brought this up, including Kevin. As great as Jay Johnson is at setting a lineup, as great as Jay Johnson is as managing his pitchers, managing the emotions, making his players the stars and not him, the thing he does better than anyone else is recruit. He freaking recruits his ass off. And he, to me, when it's all said and done, I do believe Jay Johnson will be on the Mount Rushmore of LSU coaches in any sport. I really do believe it. Two natties in 4 years, it's hard to envision him not winning at least two more. Now, baseball's wacky, and there are so many great teams out there. Arkansas, Dave Van Horn are still there. Tennessee and Tony Vitella are still there. All those great programs are still out there. Texas will come back with the vengeance with the snake that is Schwarzenegger. But Jay Johnson is locked in. It's impossible for him to get a better job than this. Unless he gets like a $5 million a year coaching job, which that will never happen in baseball. At least I don't think so. I know what I'm seeing. I know what I'm witnessing. All right, I understand this is a football channel, women's basketball second channel. I will never tell you that I am Mikey Matuk or Ben McDonald level LSU baseball analyst. But you guys know what you're witnessing. You guys feel it. You know what you see. You are not dumb. I am not dumb. I say dumb things, but I try not to hyperbolize things. You are witnessing an all-time great coach in any sport. In any sport. Now, I will tell you this. There have been plenty of bad sports takes about Jay Johnson, and they have been victory lapped. Glenn Gilbo, random users on Twitter, whatever. All debates can be laid to rest. All debates. He is elite. The next thing that comes to mind as we get our first super chat of the evening coming in hot from LA Mom. She actually, and this is true, I'm not making this up. Do you ever run into Cole Kubelik on your sports card endeavors? He's a big collector. Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned that. I don't talk a whole lot about some of my media friends in the business, because I don't want to say like, hey, I know that guy, or we're bros or whatever. But Cole and I actually do have a really good relationship. He used to go on my radio show when I was still doing terrestrial radio once every 2 weeks. And I've gotten to know Cole pretty well. And over the years, in fact, we had actually kind of lost connection. And it wasn't because of a whatever, just that it just happens, right? And he's obviously on a different level than I am. Okay, I think I'm doing well. I'm obviously not doing as well as him with the ESPN. But earlier this year, we actually rekindled. No, it sounds weird. And we had a one-hour phone conversation, I think 2 months ago, just catching up on everything. So, LA Mom, we're going to get Cole Kubelik on the show. He'll be more than happy to do it. So we'll do that for you, LA Mom. That's cool. That's really cool you ask. That is someone we could get on here. All right. Let's go to Brian. He says he hates to admit it. Nick's influence over LSU, especially defensively, is still impactful to this day. Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. I will also say Jay Johnson would hate me talking about him being an all-time great. It's just not really who he is. It's just, and I honestly don't think it really interests him a whole lot. But man, everything about this weekend was perfect. Every last freaking thing. Now, I do want to talk about a few things that have come out of Omaha. And a few of you have texted me about this. And I don't really have an opinion on it because I do have an opinion on it. But there's some murky details around Derek Curiel's walk-up song. So for those that aren't familiar, every hitter at the collegiate level, or at least at the high power level, they have a walk-up song. So they are able to walk up to whatever music that they choose to walk up to. All right. And Derek Curiel's song is a Kanye West song that's, you know, Kanye has become a spiritual singer, and they did not let him do his walk-up song at the College World Series, and it's kind of become a kerfuffle here. Some are thinking it's because it was a Christian song. Jacques Doucet, before we hopped on here, said it was because of a because it was a Kanye West song, because obviously Kanye is out there. Whatever the case may be, one thing that cannot happen to me is a neutered down version of walk-up songs, because that is what makes baseball unique. You have these walk-up songs that players get to pick, unique to them, that's only played at most 5 to 6 times. So my main opinion on this is we need walk-up songs to remain. We do. Obviously, it gets into a slippery slope over, well, I want R. Kelly to be my walk-up song. There are a lot of R. Kelly songs that we grew up on. That doesn't mean we condone some of his behaviors. I saw Michael Jackson's Broadway show while I was in New York City. It might be the greatest Broadway show of all time. Obviously, a lot of extracurriculars away from the microphone for Michael as well. So for me, you know, I'll wait for more details to come out regarding this. Obviously, Derek Curiel should be allowed to play the walk-up song that he had played all season. But we do need a statement from the NCAA before anything actually comes to be. What we can't have happen, though, is the walk-up songs go away. I freaking love walk-up music. I think it's awesome. I think it makes baseball very unique that you are able to pick a song that you enjoy. So there you go. Now, tomorrow night, we will be live at our normal time at 6 p.m. We have to start at 8 p.m. Central. I went to a doctor's appointment with my mother, who is diabetic. And guess what? The reports were great. You're always concerned with the diabetes, and everything was good with that. So we'll be back at our normal time at 6 p.m. Central. I actually ran into a few LSU fans, which was awesome in Central Arkansas. So we had to go see your specialist all the way up in Little Rock. And for those LSU fans, I shared an email if you're watching this right now. Announce yourself, because I told them that we were going live tonight. So really, really, really cool stuff. Now, I want to get into the next thing that I have written down here is Brian Kelly. All right. So is there any extra pressure on Brian Kelly now to win something or at least go to the playoff? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. The answer is abso-freaking-lutely yes. And if you would have told anyone, you know, Brian Kelly and Jay Johnson essentially hired at the same time, that Jay Johnson would have won two natties before Brian Kelly won one of them, you would think that all of us are crazy. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that, like, it's not totally implausible that Jay Johnson could do something like that, but or LSU baseball, if you will, could do something like that. It is insane, though, that Brian Kelly's not been to a playoff. He's not been to a playoff yet. And that's not the absolute highest barometer of success. Now, is it harder for me to see you go to the college football playoff than it is for, I guess you could say, a baseball team making it to a college World Series? Yes, I could make a strong case that that is the case. But I do think it's harder to actually win the national championship in baseball than it is to actually win the national championship in college football. All right. So I don't think one extra natty puts any more pressure on BK. I don't think that necessarily changes the picture for him at all. What I do think changes is how fans feel about him. Because every time something good happens to LSU, your rival fans, or in the streets, they call it your ops, they want to find something negative. Well, guess what? With LSU baseball, there's nothing really negative you could say about them right now. There's not. Like, when LSU won in 2023, everyone said, well, it was a fluke. Anyone could have won with Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz, so on and so on. But now you can't say anything. You literally can't say anything. This is one of the most impressive four-year runs in the history of the sport, ever. Ever. Okay? So what did the haters say? LSU fans have to wake up knowing Brian Kelly is still your coach. This was an interesting thing that happened to me in New York City. All right? Is in New York, there are a lot of Notre Dame fans. A lot. I did not know that. I thought most of Notre Dame's fans in metropolises, or metropoli, if that is a plural version of a big city, whatever, thought they were mostly in Chicago, and they are. I was shocked how many Notre Dame things I saw. Not even at Fanatics Fest, just around. Notre Dame hats. And I talked to a guy in an elevator who was wearing a South Carolina shirt, and he was like, well, my daughter goes here, but I'm a Notre Dame fan. I was wearing my LSU Roback shirt, and he was like, I hate Brian Kelly's guts. And he said, you know what? Brian Kelly is never going to win the big one. I know he is never going to win the big one. What's funny, though, is when Notre Dame fans say that, and they say, well, Brian Kelly's always going to get his ass beat in playoff games versus the big programs. You then bring up Marcus Freeman having that exact same thing happen to him versus Ohio State. And I understand the scoreline was kind of close in the fourth quarter, but a lot of you that watch a game know that outside of that amazing first drive that Notre Dame fans like to remind you of, Notre Dame mostly sucked in that game. Good comeback. I give you a lot of credit for it. Ohio State took the foot off the gas pedal defensively. Whatever. They still think Marcus Freeman's going to win the big one. Not going to happen. So, the thing is, there's not many people out there that like Brian Kelly. That is the one thing that I learned, because I was shooting a few different YouTube videos for some other projects I'm working on at Fanatics Fest. And when I would bring up an LSU, that I was an LSU fan, they wouldn't bring up all the great LSU athletes. They would say, you know what? Brian Kelly sucks. He's ass. Nobody likes this guy. And I'm like, okay, cool. Cool. There's a lot of LSU fans that don't like him. We've had guests on here that are diehard LSU fans that paid a lot of money to go to Omaha that have come on here and destroyed him. And guess what? We're an open line of communication when it comes to fandom. All right. Until the day comes, my dream job happening of me being hired by LSU football to do whatever, running water out to Jaden or Garrett Nussmeier, I'll do it. Until that happens, I will always open up lines of communication amongst LSU fans. The bottom line, though, is you should want more out of your program. I do think it is fine for you, if you're mostly a football fan and not so much a baseball fan, like myself. I probably like LSU baseball more than, you know, your football-only fans. You're frustrated. You're like, well, cool. I like baseball. But baseball's just not close to what football brings in revenue and what football brings in fandom-wise to the LSU program. So I understand it's perfectly fine for you to want more. Perfectly, perfectly, perfectly fine. Okay? Now, next thing. LSU lost a pretty big recruit recently that we have talked about quite a bit on this program. And because we have mostly been in good news mode, we will bring up some bad news right after
this. Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY. You're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. So Bo Bentley did not commit to LSU, and the Tigers spent a lot of time and resources recruiting him. You know, I understand LSU saying, hey, we want to get a high school 2026 quarterback in this next cycle. And it makes a lot of sense as to why. because a 2026 quarterback or any quarterback that commits as a true freshman, they're kind of sort of locked into that school, at least for the first year, right? Because all the other schools have a first-year quarterback committed, right? That's why you commit early. It's tough to go somewhere else where if they do take you, there's probably already another three or four-star at that school that they just brought in. So bringing in a 2026 quarterback is a quarterback that's kind of locked in, one that can, one you can theoretically develop. And it's just someone that can get some practice reps in and provide yourself a good depth piece with four games to spare as a true freshman. I do think we have overstated the importance of landing somebody. So there's a three-star that they offered whose name slips my mind. I've not watched him yet, so I don't really have an opinion on him. He was committed to Boise State, but he decommitted because Oregon started pursuing him, and then other schools started pursuing him. He's a four-star on On3. He's a three-star on the other services. I've not watched him at all. But one thing you will notice, because I, once again, I'm not the recruiting insider, but if I start talking more about a recruit, it's because there's information that is being sent my way about a certain recruit liking LSU. And some of that information is not turned out to those being commitments. There's a running back who LSU was after, and I liked him a lot. He caught 30-plus passes out of the backfield. I love pass-catching young backs because theoretically you can make them a third down back if need be. If you already have a workhorse that's been in the program for a while. He was out of Carthage, Texas, and he ended up committing to Texas A&M. Bo Bentley ends up committing to Oklahoma. All right. I like Bo Bentley. I'll be honest. I liked him. I didn't love him. For a few reasons. I thought the passing volume in terms of yardage was a little low. And based on some of my, you know, historical data that I've obtained, in particular, more so LSU quarterbacks, I would like to one day do this, expanding the data set for the rest of the SEC. Historically, the quarterbacks who in their final years of high school football put up a ton of yardage turn out to be your better quarterbacks at LSU. It's just what the data says. And Bo Bentley had quite a few of these kind of 115-yard games. Now, he can run, and he's got a lot of juice as a runner. It felt when I watched him, and then this is a very good compliment, even though he was a rival school. The lady who super chatted earlier, LA Mom's a big fan of this player. Not a big fan, but just an admirer of his talent. It felt like Bo Bentley was a Jackson Dart type of player, right? Just a guy that you want as a developmental piece, right? He ran the offense really well. He has good athleticism. Arm is very good. I don't know if I'd consider it special. But this was a guy that LSU really liked a lot. Spent a lot of time recruiting. Got other elite recruits on campus to go along with them on their recruiting visits. But I don't think it's just as important now because you can address the quarterback position, especially if you're more so looking at it from a backup vantage point. You can address it a little bit better now with the transfer portal, right? Let's take someone like A.J. Swan. Was A.J. Swan a success at LSU? Yes. Yes. We didn't need him. So we don't really know how good he was. But by all accounts, to me, he got beat out by Ricky Collins. And A.J. Swan was your QB3. Well, guess what happened towards the end of the season? Ricky had started, you know, there was a good momentum of him going elsewhere. And you still had A.J. Swan to step in versus Oklahoma to provide you some decent reps for you to win an SEC game. Now, did Garrett Nussmeier end up coming back in? Yes. Did AJ Swan actually play well when he was in the game? No. But he was something. He was competence, right? So, you know, Bo Bentley wasn't going to be your starter until 2 or 3 years from now. And you also take a look at the current LSU quarterback room. Obviously, Garrett's going to be your guy. I have been repeatedly told this, and this is not from the player himself, who's been a guest on this channel before. His name is Colin Hurley. This is not coming from Colin. This is coming from people who know the answer to this, who know what's actually happening behind closed doors, who know who's actually throwing and putting in work. And it is ridiculous how hard Colin Hurley has worked trying to better himself after a very harrowing experience with his car accident. Now, Colin has always worked hard. As he shared on the channel before, he would work out with NFL players like Anthony Richardson back when he was in Florida. But there are quite a few people who have been very impressed with Colin Hurley, who at the one position in college, age really does matter a whole hell of a lot. He was one of the youngest LSU players ever. So I'm a little bit happier with where the LSU quarterback room is right now. I just am than most. Do I see a for sure bona fide starter at this juncture? No, I don't. That's why LSU wants to get someone in the 2026 class. But you're also in position with the 2027s. There are so many good 2027 quarterbacks that LSU's after that there could be one who could start year one. That's how good those guys are. And I like all three of the ones that LSU have really zeroed in on. All right. Now, I don't want to make this another 2027 quarterback discussion because it's going to happen so much from now until the start of the season. But, man, there is one that I like more than the others, and it's not the one that the recruiting services agree with. So, if you want that, you can go to patreon.com/LSU football, as you just heard with the spot a minute ago. Check that out, okay? We say hi to Tyler. We say hi to Tony. Call me Larry says, smash the like button. LA Mom, good to see you. Man, it feels good to be back in the South. I freaking love New York City. I do. It is one of my favorite cities on the planet Earth. Love visiting. It is a thing of absolute beauty. Okay? But the South is where it's at, baby. It's where it's at. I don't know if I could take the subway every day. I don't know. Now, I do want to bring something up that I feel is very important. Never, ever, ever, ever underestimate maturity at the quarterback position. Sometimes, when it comes to your schedule, you get unlucky when you actually decide to schedule teams. And it could work in multiple directions. Sometimes you could schedule a program that you want to be good for the sake of your strength of schedule, and they turn out to be absolutely atrocious. You beat the hell out of them, and it really doesn't do anything in your final resume. Even though when you scheduled them, they're actually a good program. All right, a good example of this is Alabama this past year scheduled Wisconsin in Camp Randall. Wisconsin was not good this year. All right, they just were not good. Now, Tyler Van Dyke got hurt, and it's a long story. Sometimes that happens. I will defend Brian Kelly in one aspect. And it's not really a great aspect, but and it's not one that a lot of you want to hear. But I saw this earlier today that Florida State, their quarterback, Thomas Castellanos, is talking a lot of shit. He did an interview with On3, and it was atrocious. It was very confident. And look, I don't care if a wide receiver talks a lot of trash. I don't care if a defensive lineman talks a lot of trash. Your quarterback needs to be an adult. All right? I don't care if a quarterback has confidence or aura. Just don't get too carried away with it. All right? Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, those guys are never going to put their foots in their mouth. It just won't happen. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, they're just going to say the right thing, do the right thing. Lamar Jackson, whatever. Okay? I need my QB to be an adult. So Florida State had the most mature, front-facing, Fortune 500 company CEO quarterback in Jordan Travis. We played them both seasons, and he played arguably his best games of the season. He was just very good. And then the next two seasons, Mike Norvell has brought in the worst transfer portal quarterback last year was DJ Uiagalelei compared to expectation. And then he brings in Thomas Castellanos, who sucked at Boston College. He was not good. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what they were thinking. So Brian Kelly got unlucky that Florida State was as good as they were going in to both of those games. Mike Norvell's two best teams, all his other teams have been dumpster fires. Florida State's going to be a dumpster fire again. And then you get Clemson. Clemson had a few down-ish years. They were still good teams. Now you get their best team. This is the best team Dabo Swinney has had in quite some time. Since 2019, Clemson, who we beat in the national championship game. That was obviously a very good team. Maturity matters. That's why a few weeks ago, Elijah Haven, 2027 quarterback, listened to that kid do an interview, an adult. That's a high school junior, an adult. Yes, sir. No, sir. We have Preston Guy on the channel who actually did the interview with Elijah Haven. Peyton Houston, same thing. You need adults at QB. Garrett Nussmeier, Jaden Daniels. LSU has had some that were not that way in years past. Some of which I know regret some of the things that they did. It is very important to have that at quarterback leadership. You don't need to be the best quarterback, in particular in college. Jacob Coker won a national championship in the last 10-ish years. And if you don't know who Jacob Coker is, my point exactly. Nick Marshall, a defensive back, almost won a national championship as a QB. He was an adult. Ran the offense. Yes, sir, no, sir. Good interviews. So on and so on. All right. But my major point is two things, actually. Appreciate Garrett Nussmeier saying and doing the right things. Also, understand that while LSU has scheduled difficult season opening games, they have become more difficult. When you set those schedules, you don't know what that program is going to be when those schedules are set. Now, you can have a good idea. If you're scheduling Georgia or you're scheduling Ohio State multiple years out, you're probably going to get a good team. But outside of those two and maybe Alabama, you don't know. Programs go on down years. Okay? Bullfrog says Florida State is going to get their teeth kicked in week one. The F are they thinking? Well, Bullfrog, it's not Florida State. It's one guy, their quarterback, who's not taking a snap. By the way, the same quarterback who quit on his team. He had no reason to quit on his team. The season was already over for him. He had already played four games. They benched him. He quit. And Florida State said, you know what? Let's kick out a coach who the locker room respects the hell out of, and Alex Atkins, who is now with the school that you have to recruit against and who you lost a good recruit to because of. So let's kick him out, and then let's bring in a toxic quarterback. That's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. All right? Absolutely crazy. I only want adults leading my QB. I'm not saying you got to come in there dressed like Jamie Dimon every day or whoever. I just need you to be a leader of men. And I do not want, like, if I was a Florida State fan, I would be totally turned off by this. Totally turned off. I don't know what Norvell's thinking. I think him not making the playoff broke his brain. Let's see. This comes in via Twitter. Carter, I found this hilarious. They people didn't think you knew who T-Bob was. Yeah, I made a joke about T-Bob being in one of the LSU team photos. And I just said, who the F is that loser? Or something like that. T-Bob and I have a really good friendship. It goes all the way back. We used to do a show together. Love T-Bob. Friend of the channel. Has ever been on PHO. We got to change that soon. And it was a joke. But there's people who genuinely thought I did not know who T-Bob was. So shout out to T-Bob. You know, I love college baseball, but I more so love the culture around college baseball more than anything else, really. Because of football, yeah, the culture of college football is unparalleled in American sports. But I also just love watching college football. It could be a game between 2-3-9 Conference USA teams. I'm going to watch it. All right, I'm just going to watch it because I love football. I'm not going to watch two bad teams play each other in college baseball. All right, what I will watch though is a close regional game between a 4 seed and a 1 seed, like Murray State and Duke. I thought that was, to me, outside of LSU stuff, the highlight. Murray State, the Racers, the Fighting John Morant and Matt McMahon's finding a way to the College World Series. I think that was the best moment of the regionals, at the very least. You know, I love college baseball. I really, really, really do. But I love the fans. I love that so many people care. So, there you go. Chance chiming in with the poll question. Didi Bro isn't top 10. Jay Clark is 1,000% better. I think some would agree with that. I wouldn't say 1,000%. So, for those that don't know, Didi Bro is the gymnastics coach who was at LSU for 30-plus years. He was very good. But Jay Clark, of course, won the Natty. I just put Didi Bro up there because, you know, she was there for so long and she was very, very, very good as a gymnastics coach. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the weirdest thing to me is I really don't get saying, hey, let's go get somebody that just downright quit on their team. Like, for instance, you quit on your team before the playoff or whatever to go into the portal. That's different because the college schedules suck, right? You got to go in and get in the portal so you can figure out your next school and go on visits or whatever, all right? But quitting on your team mid-season? Jonte Cook style? Thomas Castellano style? Notice what happens to a lot of those recruits that quit on their team, not for redshirt reasons. They just quit because they fall out of the rotation. They're toxic. Stay away from them. Stay the F away. I don't want anything to do with you. No Chill Sports, the graphic king. Let's go. The graphic king. We'll take a few more here before we skedaddle. Once again, we'll be live tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central. Let's see here. All right. I always go on tangents towards the end. It might not be LSU football related, but had something happen to me. I don't live in a big city. So, you know, you go from New York and then you fly in and you got to drive in and, you know, I don't live near an airport. So you have to drive to the airport, whatever. Or don't live near a big airport, whatever. So I was like, you know what? I want to support small business because I myself am a small business. And I order fajitas to go last night from, you know, a local Mexican joint. Now, anybody that lives in a small town, you know that most southern small towns have an overabundance of Mexican restaurants. And they're mostly good. So the competition, it's weird because you're in a smaller town. There's a lot of things that don't have competition, right? You have a Hibbett Sports. Guess what? That Hibbett doesn't have to be the highest quality Hibbett because there's no academies. There's no Dick's. Pause. There's none of that, right? But Mexican restaurants have a high standard because, well, there's a lot of Mexican restaurants in small towns. And most of them around here are excellent. But I order fajitas, and I thought, all right, I thought that when you order fajitas, it is assumed that tortillas go with your order. So here's what I want you to do. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Should it be assumed that when you order fajitas, you get tortas? Type Y for yes, type N for no. Should it be assumed? I'm not dramatic when it comes to food. All right. Lucky enough, during this this weight loss journey, I have had not as much of an addiction to food. It used to be everything. It used to be so freaking important to me. Food. So I get home. I don't see any tortillas. And here's the funny thing about it is this Mexican restaurant is actually within somewhat walking distance of where I live. Okay, so it's not hop, skip, and a jump. I call, make the order, pick it up, come back. So I could drive back and ask for them. But I decided to call because I said, look, it might be that you are supposed to ask for them. So I wanted to know if they legitimately forgot to put them in or if you have to ask for them. I've ordered from this place before every single time. I have not needed to ask for the tortillas with the fajitas. So I call, lady picks up, had a little bit of an attitude, and she said, well, you know, you got to ask for them. And one said in that tone. I was like, I should know. I have to ask for the tortillas. Absolutely crazy to me. Absolutely crazy to me. Like, it was my fault. Do you order a hamburger? And you have to say, hey, can you include buns, please? What are we doing? What are we doing? So then I was asking, trying to answer myself, like, man, what if it's a cost-cutting measure? The price of the fajitas have actually indeed gone up. It's been a while since I've ordered them, so standards might have changed. But look, hell yes, yes, yes. It is assumed. It is assumed that that would be in the order. I digress. Couldn't believe it, though. Couldn't believe it. Because obviously, in New York City, you're going to get good service everywhere. Because there are good restaurants everywhere. Okay? I did not get the chance to go to my favorite restaurant in New York City, which is a touristy place called Cat's Delicatessen. I'm a low-key stan of pastrami sandwiches, but I have a pretty high standard for pastrami sandwiches. Cat's is pretty expensive for a pastrami sandwich. Kind of out of my range, personally, but I pay it because I am that guy. So I understand it's a juxtaposition going from a city of 10 million people to a town of not that. But come on. The only thing I ask out of restaurants is you being direct. All right? Because if she would have just said, hey, we would change our policy, or she would have kindly said, yeah, you got to ask for them. Everybody's struggling now. But it is what it is. So yesterday, I had to eat this meat loose. Fork, silver tin. Nobody likes that. I didn't ask for chunky soup. It was crazy. I mean, goodness gracious. It was insane to me. Absolutely insane. But that'll do it for me tonight. I want to say thanks to each and every one of you. And most importantly, thanks to Jay Johnson. All right. Now, this is important. So it wasn't. It is now true. Well, it might not be true. I don't know. Another Kanye West song was banned. So it goes back to the Derek Curiel thing. So Kate Anderson's walkout music was All of the Lights by Kanye West. That is still a song that I play at weddings as a wedding DJ. I've not canceled Kanye on wedding DJ playlists because I don't believe in canceling artists. Because songs are songs, all right? But, you know, the NCAA said we don't want any Kanye West to be played. And they're well within their right of doing that. It's just, I'm just letting the NCAA know, and they don't care about slippery slopes very easily, as you can tell with a lot of their hypocrisy over the years. Y'all, there's a lot of slippery slopes. Don't you think that there were some? I don't know every team's walkout song or whatever, but I guarantee to you that there was at least one person there who had a Michael Jackson song requested. All right. I guarantee you that some people requested Morgan Wallen and other controversial artists. It's a very slippery slope. It is a very, very slippery slope. And I am arguing that unless these songs themselves have nefarious meaning behind it, you should not cancel it. All right, a good example of this is YMCA has become a political song. All right, because it was the rallying cry of a presidential nomination, Donald Trump, right? I still play YMCA at weddings. I still do. Because before that became the rallying cry, it was a song of people uniting. So I just think it's slippery for the NCAA to say, you know what, we're just not going to play the Kanye West songs. I'm not condoning Kanye West with a lot of the stuff I do not agree with. I'm not condoning any of the artists. It's just it gets frisky. It gets frisky when you say, hey, because they are songs, right? The songs, especially when they are made. And also on top of that, songs are oftentimes just sung by the artists. There's writers, there's producers, there's all kinds of people that get exposure from all different forms entertainment. Okay, so you should I think in particular with songs, because a lot of the big songs that get played at these events are really about nothing in particular. Especially more modern music, it's very general stuff, right? So when I was driving my mom to a doctor's office today, we're driving back, and I used to be a country DJ, and she just, you know, you go on long trips, you get a question from time to time, and she said, hey, if there was a country artist you would want to go see, who would it be? And I said, Luke Combs. And she wasn't really familiar with Luke Combs' music. So, Luke's songs are very good, right? But it's not like some controversial point he's making, right? He's just singing from the heart about long neck ice cold beer never broke my heart. It's such a great song. I listened to it. She liked it, right? But a lot of songs are like general, right? You know, old country that had very like specific meanings and stuff like that. But a lot of songs are like just general things, right? Songs about love or whatever. But like it's not like the political statements or some of the things that those artists actually say that they get people mad. It's not the intent of it. It's not. Intent matters. So there you go. Now, that'll do it for me. Please, NCAA, don't ban walk-up music. Don't do it. It's a good thing. No. Honestly, like most college baseball players in particular, I don't think any of them have ever been known for making like some massive political statement anyway. That's the thing that's kind of ironic about it. I don't think if anybody's at the ballpark, they hear Kanye West get played, I don't think that ruins their evenings. Right? I really don't think that even crosses anyone's mind. In fact, I don't think it kind of becomes a Streisand effect thing. I don't think even fans pay attention to the walk-up song. In fact, I don't even think the players really pay attention. I mean, everybody's just so zoned in particular at the College World Series, right? Where if you're there, you're really there to watch baseball. When here with Call Me Larry, Kelly's biggest disappointment has been his coaching hires. You can't win without top-notch coordinators. Yeah, that's true. That's mostly true. Does Ohio State win the Natty last year without Chip Kelly? They probably don't, if we're being honest, because Chip was really good. Which is crazy, because Ryan Day himself is also a really damn good play caller. I'm not sure if Ryan Day is like a great, 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 great coach. But he did win an Natty. He is very good. So I don't know if it's like great, 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 great. All right. No chance. I don't think so. See, that's the thing. It's a slippery slope. Because it's kind of ironic. You know, I think most people would say that more about Kanye than they would about Taylor. But it is ironic because obviously those two have been rivals before. And it's Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing, a lamb burger from a Mediterranean spot. Let's go. Let's go.